Faith in organized religion hits an all-time low. Air Force Academy struggles with the place of religion in cadets' lives. FRC hires controversial retired Army Lieutenant General Boykin, Michelle Bachmann's anti-Islamic crusade. You know, it's one thing to note important headlines like these. It's quite another to consistently provide responsible, in-depth reporting on these stories and many others like them, which is something Religion News Service has been doing for over 75 years. And here to take a look at recent religion-related news is RNS Associate Editor and National Correspondent Daniel Burke. Welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We're going to get deeper into the Michelle Bachmann Muslim Brotherhood conspiracy theory in the next segment of the show. But just briefly, how has Religion News Service approached this story, and what do you see missing from mainstream media coverage of it?
Well, Bachmann sent five letters to government agencies back in June, and it seems like those letters didn't get a whole lot of attention until there was a back and forth with Representative Keith Ellison, who's mm-hmm. a Muslim member of Congress. So they're just now coming to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
Senator McCain made a speech from the floor of the Senate yesterday, mm-hmm. basically denouncing the charges. In terms of what's missing from the mainstream media accounts, mm-hmm. I guess it would be an examination of where Bachmann herself got the information that she alleges, the accusations. She cites a report by Frank Gaffney, who's right. a conservative, who's accused President Obama of embracing the agenda of the Muslim Brotherhood. Gaffney's a somewhat controversial figure himself. The Washington Post has called some of his reports inaccurate and counterproductive. So I really think that there could be a better delving into exactly what Bachmann is saying, what her sources are, and whether it's appropriate for her accusations to be kind of debated in the public sphere this way, whether it wouldn't be more appropriate to go to the security agencies themselves and have them kind of deal with the merits of her accusations.
Well, the reason that I ask about mainstream media coverage is that really, it seems to me this is a play for media attention. And the impact that Bachmann and her allies can have is determined by the amount and the kind of coverage they received. Would you think that that's pretty accurate?
Sure, sure. I mean, I don't know whether on her part it is a play for attention or not. That might be, you know, something that she could address. But uh-huh. but I think that you're absolutely right in that it does perk up ears in the media for sure, and that it's really our job to take a hard look at these claims and at the reports behind them and to see whether they have any merit whatsoever. And if not, then actually to tell people that and right. not just kind of let them hang out there.
So how have you, is that what you've done at RNS? Is that the way you're handling the story?
Right now we are digging into the report by Frank Gaffney. It's pretty lengthy. There are a lot of ties, degrees of separation that he tries to tie together between Muslim Brotherhood figures and American HHS officials, I'm sorry, Homeland Security officials and mm-hmm. State Department officials. So there's a lot to kind of dig into, and we are, beginning to investigate that. And another thing is that the Muslim Brotherhood has been in the news because the recently elected president of Egypt is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. So that kind of has raised the consciousness of this issue and maybe increased the fear factor a little bit sure. for Americans who don't know a lot about this group.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about another subject related to religion, and that is religion in the military for a minute. RNS has been covering the ongoing struggle to sort out the issues about what's happened at the Air Force Academy. You've also reported that controversial retired Army Lieutenant General Boykin has been hired by the Family Research Council to work on religious issues as they relate to our armed forces. Daniel, is there a bigger overall story here that's not getting much attention beyond Religion News Service?
I think that the ongoing difficulty that our military seems to have between offering religious services and programs and moral guidance, frankly, to our military personnel,
mm-hmm.
and having officers and other high-ranking officials proselytize to the younger, less experienced military members is just a story that seems to keep simmering and popping up, particularly in the Air Force Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of reasons why that may be. For the Air Force Academy is in Colorado Springs, Colorado, as you know, where there are a lot of evangelical parachurch organizations like Focus on the Family. But in terms of the larger picture, I do think that the military is struggling to get it right on this, and that there is a pushback between folks like Mikey Weinstein, who want absolutely no religion in the Air Force, and folks who say, no, wait a minute, there has to be some kind of religious freedom allowed for those cadets who want to practice their faith.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you that it keeps popping up, and I'm always in hopes that it's to get it right. I must say, however, that I think the Family Research Council's employment of Boykin is more intended to help get it wrong. I mean, he doesn't seem like the greatest guy in the world to do this job, and that's why I'm wondering if there's not a bigger story here, but it's only going to be religious groups that are going to be more sensitive to what that story is.
Right. Well, I would think that, you know, Family Research Council, they take a position on these issues. They are kind of a combatant in the culture wars. And so for them to hire Lieutenant General Boykin is not a huge surprise. He's been one of the more outspoken people in combating what he sees as the Muslim influence in the U.S. and has made comments about, you know, while he was in the military,
yeah.
fighting actual Muslims, and it was a war between the Christian God and the Muslim God. You know, that, frankly, might be what appeals to him about him to the Family Research
yeah.
Council.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to be working on military issues that often, but he's certainly a name that a lot of people in those circles would know and would look up to.
Yeah. Well, listen,
it'll be interesting to see what he does.
Your coverage of the latest Gallup poll on religion has generated a whole lot of interest, and understandably so. The poll shows the lowest level of trust among Americans in organized religion. Can you expand on that for our listeners?
Sure. Well, first of all, the big picture is that Gallup has found that since the 1970s, Americans' confidence in institutions of all kinds, from banks to Congress to the military, have all declined. Religion in particular, you and I are most interested in that aspect of it. It's down to just 45% of Americans, or 44% of Americans have a great deal or a lot of confidence in the church or organized religion. Back in the 1970s, up to 1985, the church was ranked, or organized religion was ranked first.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's about 12th. And Gallup points to scandals with pastors. They mentioned Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart, and they also mentioned the Catholic priest sex abuse scandal
mm-hmm.
As big reasons for that decline, particularly with regard to religion. Catholics, it should be noted, are a little bit less confident in their religious institutions than Protestants. Protestants, about 56% have confidence. Catholics, it's down to 46%.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we're getting it, you and I and our types are getting it with a double barrel, because with the same Gallup poll, that's showing that drop in decline of trust in religion, there's also an even lower level of trust in the press. What's the role for the media in this delicate balance? I mean, you need to cover stories that will impact people's faith in religious organizations and leaders, and yet at the same time, that coverage can affect that level of confidence.
It absolutely can. I think what we're seeing with regard to the media is just this ongoing polarization of faith in America. If you look at the comment sections of our website, we get about half of the people who say you're doing this wrong from a liberal / progressive perspective, and then half who are chastising us from a conservative perspective. And it seems like there's very, very little middle ground. Mm-hmm. I think the media is somewhat caught up in that. I think the media has had its own scandals to answer for. And, we have ourselves in that as well. But I think overall there just seems to be, people go looking for the media they want in this kind of hyper-saturated market, and they kind of shove away any media that doesn't comport with their pre-existing ideas.
Yeah. Well, our time is getting away. I want to just get kind of a popcorn answer on two or three things. How do you think the media have done overall covering the Scientology aspects of the Tom Cruise, Katie Holmes divorce?
I think it's been fairly ridiculous. There's a lot of speculation about Scientology, this and that, and not a whole lot of facts. A lot of the reporting seems like it's search engine driven. We've stayed away from it because it's been a really private matter, and mm-hmm. without either side talking, there's not a lot to go on. There's just a lot of rumor and speculation. So we'll leave that for Entertainment Tonight.
Do you have any observations on the way the press covered the U.S. Catholic Bishop's Fortnight of Freedom campaign and how they presented the progressive women religious nuns on the bus trip?
The bus trip I saw got very positive press. And you know what? It's hard to not give positive press to a bus full of nuns. They're just nice people. They do nice things, and a lot of people like them. With regard to the bishops, I wish there was better coverage and more coverage of that. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a good national picture of what was going on. We got some press releases from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, but maybe because it was the middle of the summer or what have you, I just didn't see a lot of coverage of it, and that's too bad. I think there should have been more.
Did any story you think of get short shrift beyond the pages of RNS?
That's going on now?
Yes, in the last few weeks, yes.
That's a good question. I think, I'm kind of surprised that Stephen Prothero, this religion scholar from Boston University, uh-huh. wrote a book called The American Bible, in which he brought together a lot of the really important canonical texts, like the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and then had a kind of Talmudic sections of commentary on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I thought this would be a book that a lot of people would be talking about and would want to comment on what's in it, what should be in it, what's not in it. But that hasn't generated a lot of conversation thus far, and I'm kind of surprised about that. I think the people should pick it up and take a look at it and really, frankly, read what's in it, because it would help our political debate a lot, Stephen and I both believe, if people were more familiar with these texts to begin with.
Daniel Burke is associate editor and national correspondent at Religion News Service, an invaluable source of responsible coverage of religion and the way it impacts our culture and society today. If you have confidence in what we're saying on State of Belief Radio, and I suppose you do or you wouldn't be listening, then let us express our confidence in what goes on at RNS. It's one of the most valuable sources we have. By the way, RNS has recently launched an audio feature that they're calling the Godcast. Visit religionnews.com for more information. Daniel, I know it's a busy time for you, and I really appreciate you taking time to be with us today on State of Belief Radio.
You bet. Good to talk to you again.